from ABC News. World News This Week. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York. Coming up,
I can't be the only one who wants to get their cash out of here.
I asked whether checks will clear, and they said yes. I asked whether clients are going to need to move funds to a different account, and they said no.
Bank failures and reassurances from the government.
Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe.
A run-in in the sky between Russia and the U.S.
At the very least, looks like this was just reckless behavior by a Russian pilot.
Protests erupting in France over retirement benefits. And when zebras attack.
Give me a helicopter.
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Week continues.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Can't be the only one who wants to get their cash out of here.
A scramble this week, not only for depositors of two banks that failed, but for the federal regulators who had to intervene. Customers of Silicon Valley Bank and New York-based Signature Bank found themselves rushing to check on the status of their deposits. That customer, among many in Massachusetts, and in New York, attorney Karen Streisfeld-Leitner says she had to track down her client's money.
I asked whether checks will clear, and they said yes. I asked whether clients are going to need to move funds to a different account, and they said no.
The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or the FDIC, insures deposits up to $250,000. Federal regulators say customers from both failed banks had access to their money. Even deposits over that amount were protected. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze says it all started last week.
This was a classic bank run. Basically, all of the panic set in when this bank announced that it needed to shore up its finances on Wednesday. That set off a bunch of selling. A bunch of people tried to get their money out of Silicon Bank, and it ended up failing in this 48-hour time frame.
But the bank failures also raise larger questions about the banking industry itself, its assumption of risky investments, and whether the U.S. banking system is regulated in a sensible way. ABC's Rebecca Jarvis says that these banks had a high number of tech and crypto clients, and those clients were riding high on low interest rates.
A number of companies got 0% interest rates, expanded, especially in the tech space, especially in the crypto space. That led to these banks getting very big. And as a result of what's happened with interest rates now going up, that's made business much harder on these banks. They've had to sell assets as a result of that. And in turn, people, customers have gotten very concerned about their financial position and gone in and done a run on the bank.
President Biden and other members of the administration coming out repeatedly to reassure Americans that the banking system is safe and that it's not a 2008-style bailout.
Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe.
ABC's Karen Travers explains.
Who is going to pay for this? Is it going to be American taxpayers? The president this week came out and said repeatedly, this is not going to be American taxpayers on the hook for this. He says no losses will be borne by American taxpayers. And they're insisting it is not a bailout, that the money here will come from the FDIC's deposit insurance fund. And that money is paid for by fees paid by banks.
But it's not stopping investigators with the FBI, Justice Department, and the Securities and Exchange Commission from looking into the internal operations of Silicon Valley Bank. Here's ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Sources telling ABC News that part of the FBI's early focus will be looking into whether any of Silicon Valley's senior leadership got unusual bonuses or sold stocks in the days leading up to the bank's collapse. In short, is there any evidence of insider trading?
We must get the full accounting of what happened and why those responsible can be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Senator Elizabeth Warren now arguing any executive bonuses and stock sales should be taken back from those bankers.
They took on all that risk, made themselves more profitable right up to the day that the bank exploded.
Critics, including Senator Warren, point out it was easier for Silicon Valley to fly under the radar of regulators because regulations of these banks were rolled back by President Trump just 10 years after the biggest banking collapse in U.S. history. Rolled back with support from Republicans and some Democrats in Congress. And because of that, the bank no longer had to pass those key bank stress tests.
These reforms are critical to helping all Americans thrive and to prosper.
Moody's rating downgraded the entire banking system from stable to negative, citing a rapidly deteriorating operating environment.
Some lawmakers say it was actually the Federal Reserve's misstep that led to the problems now. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa.
The way that the 2018 law was written was to give maximum flexibility to the Fed on what they would require the banks between $50 million and $250 million. And the Fed didn't exercise that flexibility they had.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen in front of the Senate Finance Committee this week also defending the federal response, saying that officials didn't want a contagion spreading throughout other banks.
We wanted to make sure that the problems at Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank didn't undermine confidence in the soundness of banks around the country.
But also this week, reports of two other banks at risk. Word that Credit Suisse was on shaky ground sent worldwide markets tumbling. Here's ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
This is a Swiss-based bank that's really been the problem child of European banking for several years now, plagued by repeated scandals, financial losses. Just this past week, the company said it identified weaknesses in its financial results. It's also experiencing an exodus of withdrawals.
Switzerland's central bank offered to step in, which in turn helped to stabilize the markets. But First Republic Bank, also on the brink this week, needing a $30 billion lifeline from a handful of larger institutions like J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America. More from ABC's Rachel Scott.
The banks saying the move reflects their confidence in the country's banking system. It comes amid growing worry about the stability of regional banks after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. First Republic's credit rating was downgraded into junk territory, its stock plunging for days. Even as the bank tried to reassure customers, still some were worried.
It's scary.
Lining up at bank branches to move their money out.
All this as the parent company of Silicon Valley Bank filed for bankruptcy. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
A week after Silicon Valley Bank failed and was taken over by federal regulators, its parent company, SVB Financial Group, filed for bankruptcy protection here in New York. It is the largest bankruptcy filing resulting from a bank failure since the 2008 financial crisis. Silicon Valley Bank itself is not part of the bankruptcy since it's now under the control of the FDIC. SVB Financial's brokerage firm and investment management firm continue to operate, and they are not part of the bankruptcy, but will likely be spun off to raise money to pay off creditors. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
But despite the headlines regarding the banking industry, some bright spots with the latest inflation reading. The Consumer Price Index showing this week that prices were 6% higher compared with last year during the month of February. The numbers in line with expectations. Here again, ABC's Alexis Christophorus breaking it down.
Rent, shelter, which made up about 70% of the rise, up 8% year over year. So shelter costs continue to be a big issue for Americans. Also, food continuing to go up nearly 0.5%. We also had a furniture, recreation higher. A couple of bright spots, energy prices actually came down, and also new vehicle sales lower year over year.
The Federal Reserve is meeting again to discuss potential interest rate hikes.
At the very least, looks like this was just reckless behavior by a Russian pilot.
That's National Security Council spokesman John Kirby telling ABC News about the Russian fighter jets that collided with an unmanned American drone over the Black Sea. U.S. officials say the drone was over international waters when the fighter jets made aggressive passes and eventually collided with the drone's propeller. It led the Biden administration to summon Russia's ambassador. But ABC News Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz says not even the release of video from the incident is changing Russia's story.
Russia remains defiant, over the top defiant, giving the Russian fighter pilots awards for preventing what they call an American airspace violation over the Black Sea, and still denying that the Russian pilots caused the drone to crash. This despite that stunning video taking an international airspace of the Russian jets recklessly approaching the drone at high speed, which they did 19 15 times and dumping a load of fuel on top of it. On the final approach, which the Pentagon believes is when the collision occurred, more fuel dumped, the video lost for about 60 seconds, and when it returned, a bent propeller on the drone. The drone operator still had some control and they guided it into the waters where Russian ships then surrounded the crash site. But the Russians saying they do not intend to retrieve the drone from the bottom of the sea, although officials say they have gotten a bit of debris. But the Pentagon says it doesn't matter. The drone has already been remotely wiped of sensitive information.
This as the British Defense Ministry claims that Russia's offensive in the eastern portions of Ukraine has all but stalled and is at its lowest rates of action since January. ABC's Inez de la Quatera has more on the major military aid that one NATO ally is sending Ukraine.
Polish President Duda saying Poland will deliver a number of MiG-29 fighter jets to Ukraine in the coming days. White House spokesperson John Kirby, meanwhile, saying Poland's decision does not impact the U.S.'s calculus when it comes to providing F-16s. Ukrainian President Zelensky has repeatedly called for the West to help Kyiv with warplanes. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News. At the foreign desk.
Slovakia also announcing that it will send 13 MiG fighter jets to Ukrainian forces. This has the International Criminal Court taking official action against Russia, sending an arrest warrant to Russian President Vladimir Putin for war crimes.
The specific allegations center on alleged involvement in the deportation of children from the eastern Ukraine war zone. ICC President Piotr Hofminski says
the judges have reviewed the information and evidence submitted by the prosecutor and determined that there are credible allegations against these persons for the alleged crimes.
The ICC, however, has no police force of its own to enforce the warrants, and Russia, like the U.S., refuses to hand over its citizens to the court. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
In North Korea, escalated military activity this week as the U.S. and South Korea hold military drills. ABC's Andy Field has more.
It's the third major North Korean missile test this week, first by submarine and now by land. South Korean and Japanese officials saying the ballistic missile was fired into the North's eastern seas. Kim Jong-un has launched a series of rockets to show his displeasure with the U.S. and South Korean military exercises. The North launched more than 70 test missiles last year, some with range long enough to hit as far as Japan and the U.S.
And in France. Protests and outrage escalate over French President Emmanuel Macron's plan to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. Macron this week using a special law that would curtail Parliament and adopt the measure without a vote. ABC's Marcus Moore says it's led to more discord.
Analysts have said that because his party does not have a majority in the parliament, there was a risk that it would be rejected. And in the National Assembly, there was chaos. Lawmakers chanting and calling for the prime minister there to resign. A majority of the people in France oppose this plan. And Macron has said, though, that without implementing his controversial pension reform plan, that the entire pension system would be at risk.
As a safety professional, if you are comfortable, it probably means you're missing something.
Acting FAA Administrator Billy Nolen, among one of the many government officials, safety experts, and airline representatives discussing what can be done about the nation's aviation system. The summit coming at a pivotal time in the industry after several close calls in recent months. More from ABC's Alex Stone.
Using a spate of recent close calls involving U.S. passenger planes as warning signs, the industry meeting in Washington to talk about how the U.S. aviation system is doing and what could be done to improve safety. Among those attending, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
More mistakes than usual are happening across the system, on runways, at gates when planes are pushing back, in control towers, and on flight decks.
Members of the NTSB testified that they have suggested safety improvements for years that have not been implemented. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Aviation officials also stress that despite these close calls, the aviation system remains safe. A Trump-appointed judge in Texas hearing arguments this week for and against a medication that has been used for decades to help women get an abortion without surgery. The case was brought before the judge by a conservative anti-abortion group that claimed it should never have been approved in the first place. Here's ABC's Maria Villarreal with the debate.
They have the argument that they, you know, overstepped their bounds, the FDA, by approving this drug way back in 2000, you know, 22 plus years ago. We actually heard the plaintiff's attorneys talk a lot about the possibility of women having complications with taking mifepristone if they needed it for an abortion. The defense says on the other side of it that they went through all the right procedures and, you know, they definitely feel that this is a safe and effective way to have an abortion if you need it.
Julie Sims says she doesn't think the medication is safe.
There's not any good guidelines that I can see to protect those who take it.
But Rachel O'Leary Carmona, executive director of Women's March, says that this ruling could be a slippery slope even if you're against abortion.
No matter what your views are on that, I think that you should be worried that any politically motivated group could bring a case against a drug that has been approved by the FDA for 20 years and just take it off the market. So where does that stop? Birth control? Plan B? You know, it's a very scary case.
Some high-profile testimonies this week in the case surrounding former President Trump and a hush money payment to adult film actress Stormy Daniels. Former Trump lawyer and fixer Michael Cohen was one of them. He says he believes a Trump indictment is imminent.
I promised the American people that all the information that is needed in order to create the indictment, to get a prosecution and a conviction, is in the hands of the district attorney.
The other, Stormy Daniels herself. More from ABC's Catherine Valders.
Michael Cohen, he knows all about these payments. He wrote the check. He knows why he did it. Stormy Daniels was, of course, through her lawyer at the time, in contact with Michael Cohen, in contact with other people at the Trump Organization. So what does she know? She knows a lot about the timeline here, which has been really the big question.
A reversal in position for the Biden administration this week regarding the popular social media platform TikTok. ABC's Mike Dubusky explains.
The Biden administration upping the ante, demanding TikTok's parent company sell off its stake in the popular Chinese app or risk it being banned in the United States. It comes as scrutiny of TikTok intensifies over fears the platform could be used to collect data on American users or as a platform for pro-China messaging. China's foreign ministry spokesman pushing back on spying allegations through a translator.
The U.S. has yet to prove with evidence that TikTok national security.
Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
This says the British government takes steps to limit the platform. Here again, ABC's Tom Rivers.
British authorities are banning the Chinese-owned video sharing app from government mobile phones, tablets, and laptops on security grounds, following similar moves by the U.S. and the European Union. In Parliament, Cabinet Minister Oliver Dowden.
This is a precautionary move. We know that there is already limited use of TikTok across government, but it is also good cyber hygiene.
The move prompted by concern that TikTok's parent company could give user data to the Chinese government or push misinformation on its behalf. Ban does not apply to personal devices. Tom Rivers, ABC News at the Foreign Desk.
Will the robots eventually take over? The head of one new AI technology isn't going quite that far, but he says it's powerful enough to change our world. Here's ABC's Brian Clark.
The admission from the head of the company behind ChatGPT artificial intelligence. Even he is a little scared of what they're creating.
I think people should be happy that we're a little bit scared of this. I think people should be
You're
happy.
A little bit scared.
A little bit, yeah,
you personally.
I think if I said I were not, you should either not trust me or be very unhappy I'm in this job.
OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, speaking exclusively with ABC's Rebecca Jarvis, says they can't not do this work.
The reason to develop AI at all is that I believe this will be, in terms of impact on our lives and improving our lives and upside, this will be the greatest technology humanity has yet developed.
When it comes to fears about artificial intelligence taking jobs,
it is going to eliminate a lot of current jobs. That's true. We can make much better ones.
Altman also tells ABC News they are constantly learning how people use ChatGPT and putting in new limits all the time. Brian Clark, ABC News.
A man in Ohio gets seriously hurt from an animal you might not expect. Here again, ABC's Alex Stone.
911, where's your emergency?
It wasn't your normal 911 call.
I got attacked by a zebra.
You got attacked by a what?
A zebra. The call went out as an animal attack to Pickaway County Sheriff's deputies south of Columbus.
Send a squad quick.
Okay, what attacked you?
a zebra.
When deputies arrived, they say a large male zebra charged at the cruiser and was aggressive. They scared it away using a siren.
Okay, is your chopper.
Deputies found Ronald Clifton on the ground with severe injuries. A zebra even came back for more, approaching the ambulance. Deputies decided it had to be shot and killed.
Did he bite your arm?
Oh, hell yeah.
Medics rushed Clifton to a hospital. We're told he will not lose his arm. Alex Stone, EBC News.
It's that time of year when bagpipes mark St. Patrick's Day celebrations around the world. Pipers in New York making up one of the largest celebrations in the U.S. Here again, ABC's Aaron Kuchersky, who is along the parade route.
Pipes and drums provided by the New York City Fire Department at the 262nd St. Patrick's Day Parade here in New York. We're along Fifth Avenue where the crowds are 10, 20 deep along the sidewalk, a celebration of what it means to be Irish in America.
Coming up.
I didn't think our end of the game execution, I didn't think our poise was what it has been in close games. And then that's a little disappointing.
Let the madness begin when World News This Week continues. The bracket's getting dusted and busted this week as the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournaments tip off. And like in years past, the upsets happened, and they happened fast. Arizona's head coach Tommy Lloyd says his team's loss to Princeton was out of character.
I didn't think our end of the game execution, I didn't think our poise was what it has been in close games. And then that's a little disappointing.
Here's ABC's Will Reeve with the highlights of some of those upsets, courtesy CBS, True TV, and ESPN2.
Off the window to the lead. Reliable. Princeton in front.
With just 2 minutes remaining, the 15-seed Princeton Tigers grabbed their first lead of the game.
The Arizona fans can barely watch.
And never looked back, exploding for 9 points in a row, stunning the second seed University of Arizona for the biggest upset of the first day of the NCAA tournament.
Into round two, as they upset the number 2 seed Wildcats.
Princeton hadn't made it past the first round since 1998. That win marks just the 11th time in tournament history, but the third straight year that a 15 seed has upset a number 2 seed. 13th seed Furman, the small school from South Carolina, joining the upset train. Shocking 3-seed UVA. J.P. Pegues draining winning 3-pointer with just 4 seconds remaining to give the Paladins a 1-point win.
Final 10 seconds of the game.
On the women's side, a buzzer beater shocker.
Bailey, 5, down to 3. Everett lost it.
Jayla Everett's bucket in the final seconds, putting 11-seed St. John's over 6-seed Purdue.
And those are the people and events that made World News This Week. World News This Week was written and produced by Joy Piazza. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.